light of guidance, the 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 light of guidance.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has very beautifully reported to have said, the one who recites durood, salutations, salawat, salam upon me, once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers 10 mercies upon him, subhanallah. And another beautiful hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the closest to me on the day of qiyamah, on the day of judgment, will be the one who had recited the most durood upon me in this world. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. As believers, as mu'mineen, it is our duty and our desire that everyone, you know, wants to attain this closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and obviously to his beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It would only be a foolish person or a mad person who would say that I do not want to be close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma'adallah. That is everyone's desire, everyone's heartly wish. And subhanallah, the method Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given to us, clear, crystal clear, that if you want to be close to me on the day of qiyamah, the thing you have to do is recite the most durood upon me in this world. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Let's all recite durood wholeheartedly upon the beloved and most noble Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Marhaba, khushamdeed, welcome to one and all to another beautiful, wonderful, exciting episode and silsila of this wonderful series, The Light of Guidance. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. As we all know, the light of guidance refers to the beautiful religion of Islam. For indeed, this is the true light of guidance, the deen, the religion which teaches us how to respect not only our parents, rather our neighbors, our siblings, our elders, those younger than us. So many beautiful lessons Islam gives us, and amongst those, many lessons, one beautiful lesson which Islam teaches us, one beautiful lesson which Islam gives us is how to live your life in accordance to, first of all, Islam, and secondly, in accordance to the society in which we are living in today. Subhanallah. So inshallah, this will be one of our discussions. Before I come to our topic, keep in mind you are watching Madani channel and we are broadcasting this wonderful episode all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So as I was saying, that this beautiful religion of Islam teaches us how to live our life, teaches us moral ethics, teaches us beautiful things. And amongst those things, one beautiful lesson which Islam gives us is live your life in accordance to the society. Those things in which people are considered bad, considered evil, considered disgusting, you must refrain yourself from those things. And those things which people consider as good, as nice, then those things you must try and get involved with. Remember, this is not a rule which can be applied on everything. For example, someone says, ma'adallah, drinking is nice, alcohol is good, and there are lots of people enjoying it, but that doesn't mean that, this everyone is saying is good, let me also go and drink alcohol. No. Obviously, in actual fact, even those people who are saying that alcohol is good, if you ask them from the bottom of their heart, somewhere down they will also say that, it's not good at all, it's not nice. Alright, so those things which are truly, good in the sense that, yes, it is nice, it is healthy, it is better for you, that you must try and do. Those things which are bad for you, or harmful for you, you must try and refrain from those things. And amongst all of these different discussions which we can do, one thing which is common in our society, our environment, that is metaphorical love, right? Love, ishq, muhabbat, hub, different words for the same thing. Metaphorical love means love besides Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. What are the harms of this? What are the problems a person will go through when he, you know, is involved in this, inshallah? All of this we will try and discuss in today's silsila. Obviously with reference from the Holy Quran, from the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is a very exciting topic, I would say. Something beautiful, something which all of us want to learn about. So inshallah, try and be focused, try and be with us till the end of today's silsila, and inshallah azza wa jal, we will learn a lot from today's episode. Subhanallah. Before we carry on, let's make good intentions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. The more good intentions you make, the more reward you will attain from the exalted court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can make good intentions that whenever I hear the name of Allah, I will glorify, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I hear the blessed name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will recite durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah azza wa jal, whatever I learn, I will try and act upon it and pass the message on to others as well. These beautiful lessons, these beautiful intentions you can make, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, make it easy, make it better for everyone. May Allah enable us to always attain good deeds and have the enthusiasm of attaining good deeds, inshallah, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, as you do know, it is our custom and our norm of this silsila and episode. At the beginning, we do listen to a beautiful kalam. So inshallah, we'll be taking a short break and listen to a beautiful kalam in the praise of the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as soon as we return, we will then move towards our beautiful, exciting topic for today. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Dear Islami bhaiyon aur Madani channel ke nazreen, الحمدللہ عزوجل بچپن میں جو مجھے یاد پڑتا ہے زندگی میں سب سے پہلے اگر میں نے کوئی نعت پڑھی تھی تو وہ یہی نعت تھی جو آج میں آپ کے سامنے ایک بار پھر پیش کر رہا ہوں
کس طرح پاؤں رکھے یا صاحب بصیرت کس طرح پاؤں رکھے یا صاحب بصیرت آنکھیں بچھی ہوئی ہیں ہر جا تیری گلی میں دنیا تیری گلی میں عقبا تیری گلی میں عقبا تیری گلی میں
ابا کہاں چلے
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
چلا لرزیدہ نظر شرمندہ بدن لرزیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
کسی کے ہاتھ نے مجھ کو سہارا دے دیا ورنہ کسی کے ہاتھ نے مجھ کہاں یہ راستے پیچیدہ کہاں میں اور کہاں یہ راستے پیچیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
کہاں میں اور کہاں اس روضہ اقدس کا نظارہ کہاں میں اور کہاں اس روضہ اقدس کا نظارہ نظر اس سمت اٹھتی ہے مگر دزدیدہ نظر اس سمت اٹھتی ہے مگر دزدیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
مدینے جا کے ہم سمجھے تقدس کس کو کہتے ہیں مدینے جا کے ہم سمجھے تقدس کس کو کہتے ہیں ہوا پاکیزہ فضا سنجیدہ ہوا پاکیزہ فضا سنجیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
بصارت کھو گئی لیکن بصیرت تو سلامت ہے بصارت کھو گئی لیکن بصیرت تو سلامت ہے مدینہ ہم نے دیکھا ہے مگر نادیدہ مدینہ ہم نے دیکھا ہے مگر نادیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
وہی اقبال جس کو ناز تھا کل خوش مزاجی پر وہی اقبال جس کو ناز تھا کل خوش مزاجی پر فراق طیبہ میں رہتا ہے اب رنجیدہ فراق طیبہ میں رہتا ہے اب رنجیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. MashaAllah, marhaba, welcome back to our silsila. You are watching The Light of Guidance only on Madani channel. Alhamdulillah, as I said before the break, that inshallah we will be discussing a very beautiful topic and something which is very important for our viewers and our listeners. I would like to begin today's discussion with a very wonderful incident, and this incident is also mentioned in Uyunul Hikayat, which is a wonderful book written by Allama Abdurrahman ibn Jawzi rahmatullahi ta'ala, a very great buzurg, wali and saint of his time. Subhanallah, beautiful book, and this book is also published by our beloved Maktabatul Madina of Dawat-e-Islami, the official publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami. Alhamdulillah, in two volumes you can find this book in the Urdu language. So for those that can read, you can even download a soft copy on your cell phone, tablet, whatever the case is. Get a hard copy and try and read these wonderful parables and narrations and incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salam, of Sahaba-i-Kiram, Tabi'in-i-Kiram, Awliya-i-Kiram, different beautiful incidents related to different topics: khawf-e khuda, hasad, jealousy, fitna, hidden diseases, this, that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beliefs with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many beautiful points are mentioned in this wonderful book known as Uyunul Hikayat. So please get your copy if you can, and try and read this book from beginning to end. You will enjoy it a lot. Subhanallah. So in that wonderful book, this wonderful incident is mentioned, which is related to our topic for today. In Bani Israel, there was a very pious person, a person who used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to stay in seclusion. He used to try and spend his entire day and night devoted to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very pious person. And one day, three brothers came to him and informed him that they need to go on a long journey. They needed to go somewhere. And because of that, there was no one to look after their sister. So three brothers and the one sister. And they said that, we can't take the sister with us. We're going on a long journey, whatever the case was. So we need someone to look after our sister. Allah, Allah. Normally, when people think that, this is a pious person, a good person. So automatically the heart says, he's a good guy. We can trust him. Alright, we don't have to be afraid with regards to anything. So they brought their sister, happily to this pious person. This pious person, the worshipper, he refused and he said, no, I can't look after your sister. I can't take care of her because, I'm afraid that it will lead me to a sin. And, she's a woman, I'm a man, whatever the case is, I have this fear that maybe it will distract me and I will end up committing something bad, or I will end up sinning. So I do not want to be involved in this. But the brothers insisted. So eventually this worshipper, this pious person, he agreed. However, he advised them to make her stay in a nearby house instead of his home. So this is how he started off. Instead of bringing her to my house, then obviously we'll be in contact every day. So what you do is give her a house far away from me, somewhere far away. Obviously, I can keep a watch on her every day, maybe walk past and see if she's fine or everything. But she won't be with me in the same house, in the same place. And in that case, I'll be able to save myself from her fitna, from the fitna of the woman. So the brothers did as they were told. The brothers left and, this carried on. So what the worshipper used to do in the beginning, that he would leave some food outside the doorstep and he would leave. And this is how the worshipper carried on for the next few days. Allah, Allah, Allah. A few days later, Shaitan put a waswasa, a satanic whisper in his ear. And you must know Shaitan is the enemy of mankind. Shaitan is the open enemy. The Holy Quran speaks about this. That inna shaitana lil insani aduwwun mubin. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that Shaitan is the open and clear enemy for human beings. And Allah Ta'ala has made you aware at every moment that you must save yourself from Shaitan. You must protect yourself. Because yes, he is very harmful for your iman, for your aqidah, for your beliefs, for everything. Shaitan is your open and clear enemy. Allah, Allah, Allah. So Shaitan came and put a waswasa. So the satanic whisper was that, what this person used to do was that he used to leave the food outside his own house. And she would come, take the food, and then she would go. So he thought that, if she would come all the way here, then on the way someone can do anything to her. So what will I do is, instead of leaving the food outside of my house, I'll go and leave it outside her doorstep. So she doesn't have to come so far, she doesn't have to walk all the way and come to my house. Allah, 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 Allah. And then she said, and then he thought that, I'll receive a lot of reward for this good intention, that, I'm trying to make things easy for her. But little did he know that this was the whisper of Shaitan. He then began leaving the food outside her door instead of his own. A few days later, Shaitan put another satanic whisper in his heart. The poor girl sits there quietly all alone. What harm is there in giving her a bit of company with the good intention of reducing her loneliness? This is the deception of Shaitan, that even though he is trying to trick you, but he won't make it apparent that he is trying to trick you. So, even if she's alone, shame, she has no one to talk to, no one to speak to, whole day she is there, just go inside, maybe speak to her a little while, with the intention that you'll remove her loneliness. If you can do that, then, it's a good intention, maybe you will get rewarded. So this satanic whisper was in his heart. This is a good deed. You are a pious man. You can control your nafs. Your intention is good and she is like your sister. He then began talking to her. This pious person started talking to her, going to her, spending some time with her. The young girl's sweet voice began to arouse excitement in the worshipper's heart. Shaitan tempted him further until they committed the sin of fornication, the sin of zina. Al-A'yadhu Billah. The girl even gave birth to a child. Then Shaitan started frightening the worshipper. If her brothers find out about the child, you will be disgraced. If you want to save yourself from being humiliated, then kill the baby and bury it. Allah, 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 Allah. Look at where the incident started from leaving the food outside his own house to the end of committing fornication and zina with this lady and then the child, and now the whisper which Shaitan put in his mind is kill the child. If you're going to leave this child here, it's going to be an issue, people will disgrace you and everything, kill the child and bury the child, nobody will know anything about the child. Allah, 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 Allah. Shaitan successfully convinced the worshipper. Then immediately Shaitan made another satanic whisper and made him think, what if the girl tells her brothers? The child you moved out of the way, the baby is buried. What if the girl goes and tells her brother and informs her brothers of everything? Then you will still be disgraced. So it is safe if you murder both of them. Kill the girl also. Murder her. The worshipper brutally murdered both the girl and the baby and dumped them in a pit in that same house. When the three brothers returned from their journey, the worshipper pretended to sympathize with them. Your sister has died. Come and recite Fatiha by her grave. She was sick or something, she died. She didn't survive. Okay, after so long, he made up a story and he said, come and pray for her, make dua for her. He lied to them and showed them a grave in the cemetery, telling them that it was this deceased sister's grave. The grieving brothers recited Fatiha and left the cemetery. At night, Shaitan appeared in the dreams of each of the brothers as a traveler and informed them about the worshipper's ill deeds. Allah, Allah. Look how, deceptive Shaitan is. He even pointed out where the bodies were buried. When all three brothers awoke, they told their dreams to each other. They came to the place that was identified to them in their dreams, and when they dug it up, They discovered the murdered bodies of their sister and her baby. The three brothers captured the worshipper. He confessed to his sins. The brothers then lodged a complaint in the court of the king. The worshipper was dragged out of his worship place and sentenced to be hanged. When he was brought to the prison, Shaitan appeared and said, "Do you recognize me? I am the Shaitan who caused you to fall in the temptation of a woman and led you to this final stage of humiliation. But don't worry, I can save you. Just do as I say." After mentioning that, you know, "I am the one who destroyed you, I am the one who brought you on this stage of humiliation, this stage of insult, of disgrace. I am the one who was behind everything, but I can still save you." You know, there is still a way in between Allah and this, you know, naive and foolish person who from the beginning was captured by Shaitan. He fell into the traps of Shaitan. And today, despite knowing everything, he still once again wants to believe Shaitan. So Shaitan said, "You know, I can still save you. I brought you here, but there is still a way. Just do as I say." Allah, the worshipper, was prepared to do anything to save his life. The worshipper said, "I will do anything as you say." Shaitan said, "Allah, deny Allah Azza wa Jal, ma'azallah, and become an unbeliever. Become a murtad, become a kafir. Deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma'azallah." The unfortunate worshipper replied, "Ma'azallah, ma'azallah. I deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become a non-believer." Shaitan instantly disappeared and the unfortunate worshipper was executed. Allah, 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 Allah. My dear Islamic brothers, what a, you know, heart-touching incident this is. That look at this person, a pious person, a person who used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person who, you know, would try his level best to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the outcome is that he ended up dying as a disbeliever, as a kafir. And definitely he will be entering Jahannam, because Jannat is only for the believers. As long as there is iman, as long as there is faith, as long as there is the belief in your heart, no, then Jannat is for you. But the moment there is no iman, there is no aqidah, there is no faith, then by Allah, you can never, ever, ever enter Jannat. So his final abode and his abode forever is Jahannam, and everything goes to Shaitan, that because it was the tricks of Shaitan, you know, who put him in this bad situation. And the lesson which we learn from this is this woman, this fitna, this problem which was in front of him, and he knew that he was going to be in a problem. That is why he first refused. But later on, when he agreed, what happened? You know, slowly, slowly, first putting food outside his door, then outside her door, then talking, then going this, then that, and then the zina, then killing, and so many other things. Everything started just, you know, when he went to put that food outside the door of that lady, of the girl. How bad is this fitna of the woman? In today's time, in today's age, you know, look around us. We have so many youngsters, so many boys, so many girls, you know, children, brothers, sisters, nephews, nieces, you know, our family members. We even know of people, universities, colleges, schools, everywhere. And what are they doing? The same metaphorical love. Just for a few moments of pleasure, they want to put the akhirat, the hereafter, and everything at stake. Just for a few moments of lust, for a few moments of metaphorical love, for a few moments of joy, for a few moments of pleasure, they want to destroy everything. And they don't even realize that they are destroying the akhirat with their own hands. How very beautifully the pious predecessors have mentioned for us beautiful things. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu has said, "Satisfying the lust for a single moment leads to long grief." It happens. You know, sometimes you commit an act because of lust. You know, you wanted to do it, you couldn't control yourself. Nobody was watching you, you looked around, you locked the door, you closed your windows, you off the lights, you did this, you did that. And just for that few moments, you satisfied your lust and, you know, that feeling which were inside you, you did whatever you want to do. After that, what happens? 5, 10, 15 minutes later, then you start realizing, what did I do? But then the time had already passed. After this worshipper committed zina, the time had passed. Now he can't return and go back. Now he can't go back to that first time where he put the food outside his own door. No, everything was done. Now what's the use of holding your head? Now what's the use of crying? Now what's the use of shouting? At that time when you were supposed to control yourself, why didn't you control yourself? That lust was eating you up. For that single moment, for that few moments, for that 5, 6, 10, 15, 20, or half an hour, 1 hour, whatever the case is, for those few moments of your life, you want to destroy your akhirat. The words of Sayyidina Abu Darda is in front of you that satisfying the lust for a single moment leads to long grief. And sometimes, unfortunately, people end up committing such disgusting sins, actions, activities that, you know, for the entire life they have to live with that grief, with that sorrow, with the pressure on their mind. And because of that, there are so many issues which happen. You know, people end up getting depressed and they go into tension and you know, this and that. They start taking medications and they start, you know, messing up their minds, and so many other diseases, problems and issues happen. Why? Just because the person wanted to fulfill his lust. Another beautiful narration, Allah, 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 which is in front of me, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. And these are words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are the role model for us. You know, his words must be in front of our mind, our heart, our life, 24/7, 365 days a year, 24/7, every second, every moment, the words of my Nabi should be a guide for you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions a hadith of Tirmizi Sharif, Allah, Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when a man is alone with a strange woman, Shaitan must be the third one. Shaitan is there. He is the third one. No matter how great you think you are, you can control yourself, you can control your eyes, you can control your mouth, control your heart. But by Allah, Shaitan is there. It's the words of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know how Shaitan is, how the tricks of Shaitan are. Big people, you know, ended up getting caught with the tricks, with the deceptions of Shaitan. And you think, me and you think, that, you know, those people who commit sins hundreds and million times a day, do we think that, you know, we can, we have the power to control ourselves? You think we can save ourselves from the tricks of Shaitan without the karam of Allah, without the mercy of Allah, without the fadl of Allah? No. It is only through the fadl of Allah that you are able to save yourself from the tricks of Shaitan. Otherwise, me and you have no capability of doing anything. We are so weak that, you know, it's every day we are falling into the tricks of Shaitan. That is why ulama ikram say you must make this dua that, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save me, protect me from the fitna of Shaitan, protect me from the tricks of Shaitan, from Shaitan ke chalo se bacha, Shaitan ke chalo se mehfooz farma, protect me from this deception of Shaitan. The words of my Nabi that Shaitan must be the third one. Two people are there, men, strange woman, Shaitan is there. And regarding this hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yahya Naimi very beautifully says, when a man is alone with a strange woman, however pious they might be, even if they are together for a religious cause, Shaitan will most certainly activate evil between them and arouse their sensual emotions. There is a danger of them committing a sin. Therefore, one must be very cautious of such seclusion. It is necessary to avoid the causes of evil. To avoid fever, cure the flu and the cold. Look at the beautiful examples of Qibla Mufti Sahab. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he is saying that even if both of them are religious, and even if they are there for a religious cause, even then Shaitan is there. And that problem will happen. They will end up committing a sin. He didn't even talk about those who are not religious. He started with those people who are religious. That even if they are religious and they are there for something, you know, pertaining to the religion, even then there is the fear. So those who are not religious, those who are not there for a religious cause, what will be happening to them? What will happen to them? What will be their outcome? Al-A'yadu Billah, Al-Aman, Al-Hafiz. The only thing we can do is make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our iman, protect our aqidah, our faith, our belief, everything, every moment. Beautiful discussion is taking place. And inshallah, Azawajal, we'll take a short break now. Listen to a few beautiful Madani pearls. And as soon as we return, we will carry on our discussion. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Respecting the rules of Manichin, there is a famous account in Quran regarding the prostration of the angels before Adam ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, whereas Iblis La'in did not prostrate before Sayyidina Adam. Ulama, they've mentioned a very fine and beautiful point here, and they've said that angels, they acted upon the divine command without any hesitation and prostrated to Adam ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Whereas Shaitan attempted to use his intellect and considered the command to be contrary to logic and reasoning. Allahu Akbar. So from this we learn that it is advisable to follow the way of angels and to act upon the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any hesitation, because we've got a limited intellect. Sometimes we cannot understand the wisdom and logic and reasoning behind the divine command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we use our own intellect the way Shaitan did, there's a possibility that we can be misguided. The reason is we are weak. We have not a perfect intellect. It is not that there is no reason or wisdom or logic behind the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the weakness of our intellect which cannot comprehend that. So it's always a good idea to just say labbaik upon each and every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to act upon whether you understand it or you don't understand it, whether you know the logic or you don't know the logic, whether you know the wisdom behind it or you do not know that. And alhamdulillah, ulama, they've mentioned many reasons behind so many forms of worships and commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, if you do not know it, just think it is the weakness of your intellect. But the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there and we should follow it. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back to our silsila. You are watching Madani Channel. We are discussing the light of guidance. And very beautifully, before the break, we discussed this beautiful topic with regards to metaphorical love, some sayings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, a very beautiful incident which was an eye-opener for many of us. Unfortunately, today's time, we have youngsters, you know, who maybe read one, two ayat of the Holy Quran, one, two English translations from anywhere, which any source they can get, you know, one, two hadith, and then they think that, you know, they know a lot about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they know enough, and, you know, nobody can lecture them, nobody can speak to them, nobody can do anything to them. My advice to these people is that if you do not pull up your socks, and now, you know, if you still think you know a lot about deen, then there is destruction for you. Because believe me, you just by reading one, two ayat, and reading one, two hadith, a person doesn't understand everything about deen. He doesn't know about all the halals, all the harams, all the makruhat, all the sunan, all the nawafil, all the wajibat. No. It's important for you to always be involved in learning ilmi deen. Then only you will know what deen is trying to tell you. And for that, I mean, you can get great ulama-i kiram today. And even if you go and ask them, they will tell you that, yes, every day we are still learning something new. Something is getting added to our knowledge, subhanallah. And there is no age to learn. You are never too old to learn. You are never too late to turn. So there is, every day of your life, you will be learning something, subhanallah. So, you know, some youngsters, they read the Holy Quran and they come across a very beautiful incident of the Holy Quran. Surah Yusuf, you know, when they read the entire discussion, then ma'adallah, you know, they do read that Zulaykha, who was the wife of the king, you know, she fell in love with Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam because of his beauty. And his beauty is that beauty in which until today people give example of the beauty of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, subhanallah. So, you know, Zulaykha fell in love with Yusuf alayhi salam. And today some so-called modern youngsters, boys, girls, and this, you know, Yusuf alayhi salam also, ma'adallah, fell in love with Zulaykha. Allah, 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 Allah. And this is, you know, a tuhmat. This is, you know, an objection. This is a slander against Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. Remember speaking bad against any Nabi, having any bad thoughts for them, you know, slandering them, mocking them, it will end up to be kufr. in disbelief, al-ayazu billah, you're slandering, you're mocking, you're insulting a Nabi, ma'adallah, trying to find ways to degrade a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will end up being kufr. Just few ayat of the Holy Quran which I want to keep in front of you, so that this doubt might also be removed from the minds of people. Allah ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرَّعَى بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. Translation of Kanzul Iman, and indeed the woman desired him, and he too would have inclined to her if he would not have seen the proof of his Lord. He would have also inclined, but he has seen the proof of his Lord. Allah Ta'ala did not mention that yes, he was inclined. No. Allah Ta'ala had already protected the Anbiya alayhim as-salam. They are masoom, they are innocent, they are sinless. They cannot even be the slightest possibility, you know, a millionth part of one possibility of them committing a sin, ma'azallah, or even thinking to commit a sin, al-ayazu billah. Commenting on this beautiful verse, Sadr al-Fadil Allama, Mulana Sayyid Mufti Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi has stated, Allah Ta'ala has made the prophets free from ill manners and shameful deeds and has blessed them with good manners. Thus, they avoid every evil deed. According to a narration, when Zulaykha tried to seduce Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, he saw his father Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam, who had pressed his finger between his teeth and was gesturing to Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam to stay away from her. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And the fact is that it was a one-sided love on the part of Zulaykha only, and Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam had not indulged in it even to the slightest degree. In verse 30 of Surah Yusuf, it is mentioned some quotes, some sayings of the Egyptian woman I mentioned like this. And some woman of the city said, the ruler's wife is seeking to seduce her young boy. Indeed, his love has deepened in her heart and we find her infatuated with love openly. These ayat of the Holy Quran very beautifully, you know, mention that Zulaykha had the inclination towards Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, but Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam was not involved in this, was not inclined to her, was not indulged in this even in the slightest way, in the slightest manner. So these, you know, proofs and things which people want to bring in today's time, that, you know, we read the Holy Quran and this, so love is also in the Holy Quran. You can't justify your filthy actions by using the pure and pure kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we say that you must read the Holy Quran with the proper explanation of the Holy Quran. And that will only be when you learn the Quran from ulama'i ahlus sunnah wal jama'ah. The proper sunni tafasir, sunni explanation, sunni, you know, exegesis of the Holy Quran, then only will you find out what the Holy Quran is truly telling you. If you want to go to every Tom, Dick and Harry, you want to go to every layman, you want to go to every historian, you want to go to every writer and try and pick up what they said regarding this ayah, then by Allah, you will move around in circles and you will never ever reach your destination. Why do you think we always focus on aqeedah, on ulama, ahlus sunnah, on the right teachings of Islam? Because then only will you know what Islam is telling you. This metaphorical love, this love, you know, committing sins in this love, this all is not ma'adhala proven in the Holy Quran, in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is something which you are doing, and to justify it, you are fabricating a lie upon Allah, His beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Holy Quran and the hadith, ma'adhala. It is necessary upon you to repent, to make tawbah, and to seek forgiveness from this disgusting sin. Unfortunately, time is very quickly passing by, but one, you know, disease in today's time is the cell phone, the mobiles, the tablets, the iPads, the computers, the laptops. It can be used for many good things. At the same time, this is one of the devices, one of the diseases in today's time, which is a big problem in the so-called metaphorical love which people have with each other. Someone will share the number and boy will speak to girl for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. Salah time is going, parents time is going, sibling time is going, family time is going, homework time is going, school time is going, everything is passing by. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 months later, they're talking, and you know, it will happen so that this person, he will claim to be in love with that girl will claim to be in love with this boy, and they will happen to do something so bad that both the family's reputation, dignity will be tarnished, will be destroyed, and in the end, nothing is going to happen. What's going to come in your hand is only dust, and only dust. You thought that you were going after gold, but you ended up catching only dust. That is why Islam has given the proper method. Islam has given you the way. A person, you know, sometimes it happens. A person's heart inclines towards someone. Right? It's the nature of human beings, it's the nature of people that the heart sometimes inclines towards someone. The person's, you know, mind says that, you know, he wants to spend life with so-and-so person. So Islam doesn't say you must start chatting. Islam doesn't say you must start, you know, hooking up with each other. Islam doesn't say you must start moving out with each other and go on dates and so-called things. No. What does Islam say? Islam says the jais and permissible way is to perform nikah. Once nikah is done, then she is your wife, you are a husband, then the connection is there. You can speak for hours and hours and hours. There is no disobedience of Allah. Obviously, you need to take care of the other, you know, factors and obligations in Islam, but you're not committing a sin when you're speaking to her. You're not committing a sin when you're seeing her. You're not committing a sin when you are touching her. You're not committing a sin if you are walking with her, if you are sitting with her, if you are eating with her. There is no sin, because now she is your connection, she is your partner. The nikah has been done. The beautiful relation is now tied between both of you. And this is the permissible way. Instead of, you know, spending hours and months and days in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the outcome is disgrace, once in the beginning, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the rest of your life, inshallah, you will enjoy. So these kind of things you must keep in mind. You must try and act upon these beautiful methods. You must try and act upon these beautiful teachings of Islam. Make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us, first of all myself and obviously everyone else, to act upon whatever we have discussed. The topic is very vast. Time is not permitting us. Otherwise, we would try and, you know, elaborate on this topic more. But inshallah, in the coming episodes, if we get a chance, we will try and discuss this more. Remember, instill the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in your hearts, in your mind. This love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the base of your iman, the base of everything. You have this love, by Allah, you have everything. You lose this love, by Allah, you lose everything. We hope to see you soon, inshallah, azawajal, in our coming episode. Very soon. Till then, be positive, think positive, stay positive, remain positive. Till we meet again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The light of guidance, 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 the light of guidance.